Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And joining us right now on the Wester Hotline is Jesse Granger from The Athletic to talk about the Vegas Knights. So, Jesse, it's Sal Capaccio here with Joe DiBiase. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, well, let's go back to that first. Let's start with Jack Eichel before we get to the coaching change because, obviously, the Vegas Knights made the best offer. The Sabres get Alex Tuch. They get Peyton Krebs. They have a draft pick coming in return. We like what we got here on this end from this trade so far in Buffalo. These guys are playing really well. What have been the early, albeit very incomplete, returns on what you've seen so far from Jack Eichel in the limited time in a Vegas Knights uniform?
Yeah, I think he's been basically what you'd expect out of him. He's been very good. I thought he was the best player on the ice down the stretch. Obviously, Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty were both pretty banged up. Those are their two top players. And when they did come back from injury, they didn't look themselves. So they didn't have the normal star power that they would have. But of the guys on the ice, I thought Jack was probably the best player on the ice. You guys know. You watched him a long time. You know what you got out of him. He's obviously a really great skater. He is patient with the puck. He's got the confidence to hold on to it, to wait for the pass to open up. He did a lot of really good things. I don't think he was at his best yet, which is not to be expected, considering he had an 11-month layoff and is coming off of a neck surgery. So I think there are some reasons to believe that he's still got some room to grow here in Vegas. I think a training camp with all these teammates will do him a lot of good. He not only was he coming to a new system on a new team off of a long layoff and a surgery, but because of the Golden Knights injury situation and because of their salary cap situation, he was never really able to have constant line mates down the stretch. I mean, he played with different line mates just about every game. So I think a training camp and an off season will do him a lot of good. I think in terms of the value of the trade, when you look at how good Jack Eichel is and how good Peyton Krebs and Alex Tuch are, I think the Golden Knights did all right. The issue that I have with the trade, and I think that where it may bite the Golden Knights, is the fact that they just didn't have the salary cap space to add Jack Eichel. And they did it anyways. And now they're sitting, they already have more salary cap committed to next season than the cap limit. And they still have four restricted free agents and two unrestricted free agents. So they are going to have to trade a lot of salary out of Vegas this offseason in order to make room. So even though that trade, I think on its surface, I think is good for the Golden Knights. I think it's good for both teams. I do think that where it's really going to hurt them is they still have to shed salary. They're not quite done with this Jack Eichel trade yet.
You mentioned that there were plenty of games where he was the best player on the ice. And watching a lot of those games down the stretch, it did look like he was producing chances, not just for himself, but for his line mates. But it ended up with, what, one assist in those six games leading up to the season finale where, before the season finale, I think they're eliminated from playoff contention by that point, where he had 3 points, but he had one assist in the previous six games. But how much of that was just getting unlucky, snake bitten? And then also, Jesse, I feel like, didn't we learn after the fact that he had been dealing with an injury in addition to just coming back from the neck?
Yes. Yeah. So, and I should clarify, I do think Eichel struggled a bit in that specific six-game stretch that you're talking about. I don't think he was great. I think aside from that, he played really, really well. But I do think he had some, especially defensively, he wasn't good enough in that stretch. You mentioned the points weren't there. This team was just snake-bitten, the whole squad, not just Jack. They just couldn't score. And it's been an issue for this team for 3 years now. When the stakes get at their highest, this team grips their sticks a little too tight, and they can't put the puck in the net. They create chances. They dominate possession. They control the puck in the offensive zone for the majority of the game, and they just can't score. And it happened in the bubble against Dallas in the Western Conference Finals. They couldn't score, and they lost. The following year in the Western Conference Finals against the Montreal Canadiens in the weird season with the division split, they couldn't score and they lost. And now this year, down the stretch, obviously a different situation. They're battling for a playoff spot rather than deep in the playoffs. But the same thing happened where their top guys just got a little too much pressure and couldn't score. And to Jack's credit, I guess, or in his favor, he was dealing with a serious injury. He broke... I think it was a thumb. It may have been a finger, but he broke a bone in his hand blocking a shot to the point where he couldn't even take faceoffs. He did not take a faceoff for, I think, 5 or 6 games after that first happened. But he was still playing through it. He was still scoring some goals for him. So I thought, Jack, like if you're a Golden Knights fan and you're upset with a lot of things that have happened, I don't think you can really be upset with what Eichel did considering all the circumstances around him.
All right, so they're in the process of a coaching change. Given everything you said about gripping the sticks a little bit tighter, like, do they need to make changes then on the roster to do something about making sure this doesn't happen going forward again?
Well, I think they have made changes on the roster. I mean, this team, to be honest, I think they could it could do them some good to not make any more changes. And I just mentioned that they are going to have to make changes. They're going to be forced to because they have to clear salary cap. So this isn't going to be a really quiet offseason, but I think the best thing the Golden Knights can have in terms of player personnel this offseason is just a quiet summer. Don't go out and sign the big fish like they've done almost every year since they went to the Cup final in year one. Don't make a huge deadline trade like they've also done pretty much every year. I think the coaching change is enough change for this team. I'd like to see – I wrote at the end of the year, I thought this team never had an identity, and that's not a problem that they had over the first 4 years. But this year, I think you combine the injuries with the constant influx of new players, and not just new players, new star players. They aren't adding around a core. They basically built the core by trading for Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, signing Alex Pietrangelo, trading for Jack Eichel. I think they could use some stability in their roster and just kind of let these guys come to camp, try to gel together, try to build an identity. And obviously, picking the right coach is going to be crucial in finding the right identity for this group of players, because I think Pete DeBoer is a great hockey coach. I think his systems work. I think everything about the way Pete DeBoer operates is good. I just don't know if it was the best match for this specific roster. I think the way he wanted to score goals, this roster isn't built to score those kind of goals. And I think some of the things that his system did, I think the structure of his system maybe took away some creativity. So I do think that also impacted I think that was a factor in their inability to score was I don't think the system, albeit a good one, wasn't the right one for this group.
That's interesting because, like, there'll be competition for him anyway. I think I saw Winnipeg is going to be interviewing him, but Barry Trotz has been the name that I've seen the most connected to Vegas. And it might just be speculation that, oh, it fits. He's available. He's won a Stanley Cup. It's right. A Stanley Cup caliber roster. He fits. But I don't know, Jesse, like, the thing I think about Trotz is, maybe this is more from the Islanders' time than the Capitals, that it's defensive, it's shut it down, it's play the trap when you're up one goal. And I don't, even though he's a big name and he's got the pedigree that fits with Vegas, I don't know, does he stylistically fit with the Golden Knights?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I just wrote essentially that. I totally agree. I think Barry Trotz is probably the best coach available. I think there's an argument Barry Trotz is one of the best coaches in hockey. But I think the fit might not be there. I mean, if the Golden Knights are if Kelly McCrimmon has decided we don't need to fundamentally change the way we play, we just need to do it better, then Trotz is the guy because he does that shot suppression style. His teams play good defense. I mean, I look at the Islanders. The year before he went to Long Island, they allowed the most goals in the NHL. And then his first season there, they allowed the fewest goals in the NHL. Like, the guy knows how to shut down the opposing team. So I think Trotz is probably the best coach out there. I don't know if he's the best fit. This team has shown, as I've mentioned a few times, they like to go for the big move, the big flashy, the move that every fan on Twitter is calling for, whether it's signing Pietrangelo or trading for Eichel. They've done that consistently, and it feels like Trotz would be kind of another step in that direction. I don't know if that's the way they're going to go. I think maybe they should go for someone a little more with some offensive background. But at the same time, it's hard to argue against Barry Trotz and the results he's got.
Jesse Granger joining us here talks about the Vegas Golden Knights on the radio and also covers them for The Athletic. And obviously, you know, we're well past the point, Jesse, of asking you, what are we getting in Buffalo and Alex Tuch or Peyton Krebs? We've seen enough of them. But I will ask you, are you surprised at all about how really, really well Alex Tuch played for the Sabres once he got a uniform on? And even I would say, now look, he didn't have the numbers necessarily at the NHL level, Peyton Krebs, but we've seen some flashes from this kid and what he's doing in Rochester in the playoffs right now. And he seems like he has eyes in the back of his head. Like, I think we're very comfortable here in Buffalo with the return so far.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not surprised with Tuch at all. He is such a dynamic player. I've said it for a few years. I think he was the most dynamic player on the Golden Knights roster. The problem for Alex Tuch in Vegas was he plays right wing. He doesn't play all that well on the left. Like, they tried moving him to the left at times when there were injuries and they had to shuffle him around, and he just never really worked on the left. So he's a really good right wing, and he just happened to play on a team that had Mark Stone and Riley Smith. And he just simply was not going to pass those two on the depth chart, so he couldn't find his way into the top six. So in Vegas, Tuch was constantly stuck on the third line, playing less minutes, and he was also, the third line was kind of their shuffle line. It was, they had offensive identities on the top two lines. The bottom line with Ryan Reeves and William Carrier was the Basher brothers, and the third line was just kind of whoever else is left, and he was stuck with players like Cody Eakin and Ryan Carpenter, who are fine players, but they aren't offensive weapons. So I've been saying for a while, if Alex Tuch can ever get top 6 minutes with offensive players, he's going to be a monster. And he has been. He's been really good in Buffalo. It's really cool to see. I'm a big fan of Alex Tuch right here. He was great to deal with in Vegas. He was amazing in the community. So it's very cool to see him. I think I've been saying it. I remember from the first development camp they held in Vegas when they didn't even have their practice facility built yet, I said, man, that might be the first captain of this team. I really like his maturity, everything about Alex Tuch I'm a big fan of. So I'm not surprised at all to see his success there. Krebs, I am a little surprised. Krebs didn't show much in Vegas, and it was obviously very limited, and he's really young, so you got to be patient with that. But he didn't do much of anything. I mean, he's a water bug out there. He skates all over the place. Like, that part sticks out. He flies, and he puts pressure on the forecheck, and he's got a ton of energy. So that part, he did show, but the offensive instincts just weren't there, and he was kind of like Tuch. He was playing down the lineup with maybe not the most offensive players, so that's part of it. But, I've been a little bit surprised with when I see the highlights of Krebs dishing some assists every other night. It's good for him. It seems like he's in a great situation.
There's no actual betting line on it, but you mentioned like Tuch being captain material. I mean, he would be as heavy a favorite as there is to be, I think, the next Sabres captain. Whether that happens next year or the year after, we'll see. But yeah, I think all that sounds right too on Krebs. Like, Jesse, it might be a case where, I mean, you would know, what was an Achilles injury in his draft year that kind of stalled his development a little bit. I don't know. It feels like he might be one of those guys where it'll take 2 years before we really know what he is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it was a crazy accident. He got cut on his Achilles just while practicing skating before the draft. And yeah, he was in on a scooter for his first few months here in Vegas. But great kid. He's got a great motor. Would be the number one attribute I'd give Peyton Krebs is his motor. I mean, he just never stops, which for a player with the offensive potential that he has is pretty exciting. It's fun to watch.
Back on the Golden Knights for a moment, because we've talked about their cap situation a little bit here. They're already over the cap for next year. One, is Evgeny Dadonov the right first name to look at, given that they tried to trade him at the deadline? And then two, is anything happening with Robin Lehner, like between the organization and him? Because there was that odd situation at the end of the year with his surgery. Have cooler heads prevailed? Is that a relationship that you see continuing without issue?
Yeah, I do think. I mean, he met with Kelly McCrimmon in their regular exit interviews, and Kelly said it went well. I think a big part of that, and I even said I think Robin and Pete DeBoer can coexist. If they had decided to keep Pete DeBoer, I think they would have found a way. But I think the most strained relationship was between Robin and Pete. So the fact that Pete's no longer here, I think makes it a lot easier to massage that. So I expect Robin to be back. I do think there's a good chance they move on from Laurent Brossoit, their backup goalie. He's making over $2 million. So I think Logan Thompson came in at the end of the year. He was their AHL guy. He was their third guy. He was phenomenal down the stretch. They have him signed for the next 3 years at a $700,000 cap hit. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if they move on from Laurent Brossoit as the backup goalie and roll with Leonard and Thompson as 1A and 1B. That would save them some money on the cap, and I think it gives Thompson more opportunity to continue to prove himself because he's been phenomenal.
Jesse, I know you cover the Knights there, but I'm sure you're paying attention to what goes on in the East over here. And obviously in Buffalo, we were locked in on what was going on in Toronto because they're just over the border there. And you know, lots of Sabres fans, you know, are very happy they didn't make it out of the first round again. What do you make of that situation up there where they are right now? And once again, another first round exit for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a believer that like some sports in basketball, basketball is the best example. The team with the best player wins in basketball. If you've got the best player on the court, you're probably going to win. I think hockey is a worst player sport. I think the team with the best worst player in hockey wins, not the best player. And I think the Maple Leafs, the top of their roster is so heavy. And by the way, I think a big part of this belief is I watched that expansion team with the Golden Knights. They had guys scratched that would be playing on the third line on the opposing team. They didn't have any top liners, but they had like four second lines and they dominated teams. And as it's kind of been proven out, I think the bottom of your lineup is so important. Tampa Bay had all those stars, but couldn't win anything until they started bringing in really solid pieces in the bottom six. I think the top six of the Maple Leafs is absolutely Stanley Cup material. I think the bottom of their lineup and the bottom of their defensive pairings maybe just aren't good enough, and it lets them down at the wrong times.
What do you think about what's going on in the West right now? Of course, the battle for Alberta, you're close. You've watched these teams play a lot. Joe said at the top of the program, after watching last night, he said, you know, he goes, the Avalanche are the best team in hockey, and it's not even close the way they play.
Yeah, I mean, right now it certainly looks that way. They are unbelievable. I mean, it's crazy that Nathan MacKinnon might not even be the best player on this team anymore. Like, if you would have said that 3 years ago, no one would have believed you. Like, Cale Makar is unbelievable with how good he is right now. And he does things no one else in the league can do. They're a lot of fun to watch. I think as long as Darcy Kemper plays well in net, they are going to be impossible to beat, at least in the West. I think there are some teams out East that can absolutely skate with them, Carolina, Tampa, and Florida. Mm-hmm. But in the West, Colorado is—they certainly seem a step above the rest. I'm just as pumped as everyone to watch the battle for Alberta.
Yep.
Connor McDavid in the playoffs is always fun to watch. Like, it's Leon Draisaitl. I don't know. There's a lot of storylines in that series that are going to be fun to watch. I hope it lives up to the hype. I'm excited for it tonight.
One more quick around the league thing I wanted to get your thoughts on before we let you go, Jesse. In Pittsburgh, Rob Rossi of The Athletic, I think he had yesterday or the day before that at this point, he doesn't see Malkin, Letang, or Brian Rust back in Pittsburgh, and that there's rumors of Crosby is upset about that. Just what do you make of, if that does come to fruition, that Pittsburgh lets their big guns go around Crosby, it almost doesn't kind of read like that's them saying, all right, like, I know you're 35, Sid, but like, and you've got years left, but like, we got to start to retool. And I don't know, that feels like, that I don't want to say it's crazy, but you just don't see teams do that very often with legendary players like Letang and Malkin.
Yeah, for sure. If they let those guys go, the Golden Knights are for sure going to sign all of them.
I love it.
No, but seriously, yeah, I agree with you. It feels like the end of an era if that happens. It would be, and I think not only an end to an era, but an end, an earlier end than we all expected. Yeah. I think we all kind of have assumed that these three players are going to play until they can't play anymore all together in Pittsburgh. And it would be, I mean, I don't blame them if they do end up wanting to retool. They haven't had a deep playoff run in quite some time, but at the same time, it's going to be weird to not have, if we don't have Crosby and Malkin and those guys in Pittsburgh doing what they've been doing since about as long as I can remember. I mean, I think I was in high school when those guys were winning Stanley Cup. So yeah. It would be strange to not have that team.
All right, last thing before we let you go here. We appreciate your time. We've kept you quite a while. Jesse Granger of The Athletic, NHL Network correspondent as well. Just a thought on the Sabres. You know, we've had some dark days here for quite a while. It's been a decade, more than that, since they've made the playoffs. They have the longest drought going, but we are feeling very, very good about the future, the direction of this organization. The prospect pool looks amazing. They have some really nice young players on the actual roster right now. Yes, the East is tough, but your thoughts on what you see from the outside looking in?
Yeah, I think everything points to this team heading in the right direction, and I think culture is a big thing, and I think that the belief that, hey, we're finally going to get out of this and do this and build this team. I think the Eichel move was important in that aspect. I think just from the outside, it seemed like a renewed sense of optimism with Tuck, and just he's the hometown guy and the way that he played right off the bat. And like you said, he's been captain material. I think not so much the skill on the ice, but the culture around that team seems to have changed from way over here in Vegas, from my perspective. And I think that's a good thing because they've got lots of young talent Jack Eichel was an amazing talent, but it just never, the culture never, the pieces around him, it just never fit. I think now you've got a lot of young talent, obviously Owen Power, Rasmus Dahlin, all those guys. And I think the pieces around them and the culture around them seems to be heading in the right direction. I'm excited to see what they can do.
Jesse, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it. I know it's a little bit earlier for you out there, out west. But you know what? We appreciate your stuff and appreciate your time here. And thank you very much for joining us today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.